Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I know some people want me to say Roll Tide, but I grew up a Texas Longhorn fan, so I just don't have that in me. Today, even though, you know, Alabama come from behind, pretty amazing win last night. I didn't watch it. We don't have cable. But I caught part of it, probably some illegal stream thing that was showing up on Facebook. But I did catch part of it. And then, of course, big turnaround, overtime, and all of a sudden there's a new kind of out-of-nowhere hero who's from Hawaii, Tua. Tagovailoa, I don't know, but his first name is Tua, T-U-A, a true freshman and a believer, a pretty strong follower of Jesus Christ from everything I can find. And I read an article that a friend of mine posted today that was on BamaInsider.com. That's their own school website thing. And talking about his faith and then what he said last night after the game on the field was really, you know, it's great to see these young, especially young guys that just step right up there. True freshman. So he's literally a freshman in college. He's 18, maybe 19, something like that. And he just became this overnight sensation. I mean, he was a phenomenal athlete anyway, but just became an overnight sensation really in the matter of the second half and then the overtime win. Just remarkable and a bad play and then the winning play. Pretty remarkable. So I want to play what he said on the field. Just start off with that, because that was really encouraging to me. I just really appreciate when Christians are willing to kind of throw it out there. You know, as they get older and they're, hey, you know, they're at the Emmys or at the Grammys or whatever, and they, hey, I want to, you know, thank the Lord. You know, once they get that far down the road, I'm always like, especially if you kind of look at their fruit. And I'm always like, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I try not to judge people's hearts as much as I used to. But when they're young, like Tua, you know, it's great. And, you know, Tim Tebow started this way, and Tim Tebow has held the line. Whether you like him as an athlete or not, a football player or a baseball player, it doesn't matter. The guy's absolutely held the line and has had a great witness as a follower of Jesus Christ. I hope Tua does the same thing. So it was pretty cool. I just want to share some of that with you. Some big news on the black unemployment rate in America. Really shocking. I didn't see this coming, and yet here it is. And, of course, who's going to take credit? You know, we'll talk about that. Of course, the big book out there, Fire and Fury, from Michael Wolff, who's really a goofball. But he got kind of caught in an interview with Nora O'Donnell. I don't know if it was today or yesterday on CBS This Morning. And then today's really unprecedented meeting that President Trump had, with members of Congress leadership on both sides of the aisle. They originally thought it was just going to be, you know, the press is usually in there for a lot of these meetings for the first 5 or 10 or 15 minutes, kind of glad-handing, all that kind of stuff. But he left them in there 58 minutes and, plus. They were in there. So all of a sudden, sometimes I don't know if Donald Trump is brilliant like he says he is, if he's a genius, if he's just shrewd, you know, but this was really shrewd on a number of levels. But on some on the meat and potatoes side, when it comes to immigration, some things that I think are going to really upset a few folks, not the least of which I'm going to play for you, that he said at about 38 minutes into this meeting with all the Republicans, Democrats right there and the press all around them. This was broadcast live. It was live on CNN and CNBC and all these other places. And you almost never get a full glimpse of one of these meetings. And Donald Trump clearly in charge of the meeting and very bipartisan-esque, which some of you will like and some of you won't. But some of the things he said, you know, when it comes to immigration reform, I think will probably be quite disappointing to some of you, depending on where you fall on the spectrum of what we should do with immigration and the problem of illegal immigration in this country. So we'll get to that as well. Busy, busy today. On Friday, wanted to give you a heads up. I just found out about this. So the Irwin brothers are buddies of mine. The Irwin brothers made Woodlawn. They did the Steve McQueen movie with Pastor Greg Laurie that just came out last fall that we talked about a lot. The unbelievable story of Steve McQueen becoming a born-again Christian before he got cancer and died. And they also did Mom's Night Out. They did October Baby originally. And then they have I Can Only Imagine coming out in March, on March 16th. Yes, that's 3/16, which is pretty cool. a phenomenal movie. It's really the true story behind the song. It's the number one Christian-selling contemporary Christian song of all time, I can only imagine, of course. And so Andy Irwin, John and Andy Irwin, the brothers, Andy's going to be here in the Raleigh area on Friday, where I live and broadcast from. They're doing a screening for some pastors and some other folks at a local church here, Richland Creek. Actually, if you're a Truth Radio listener, you're familiar with David Sims, who's the senior pastor of Richland Creek here in Wake Forest, and not there, that far from where I'm broadcasting from right now on the campus of Southeastern Baptist. So they're doing a screening Friday night of I Can Only Imagine. And Andy's going to come in and do the show with me on Friday. So I'll have Andy in here on Friday. And then the gentleman I was going to have on Friday, who is a former police officer and hasn't been working for several years on leave, on disability, really, and got, because of a series of injuries and surgeries, got absolutely hooked on opioids. And just started to destroy his life over the course of 5 years, 5 and 6 years. It's an amazing story. I spent a couple hours with him yesterday. And so I rescheduled him from Friday to next Tuesday. So his name is Clay. He'll be in here next Tuesday to share that story, a very important story. Obviously, opioid has become an epidemic in this country. And when you hear the story of a great guy who loves the Lord, he was a police officer, got injured in the line of duty. And when you go through these surgeries and have this terrible pain and the doctor's pain management just start handing this stuff out, man, I didn't know how bad the opioid addiction could be and how it comes out of nowhere and what it does to your brain and your body. It's an amazing story. And praise the Lord, Clay's been clean now for over 100 days. He went to a rehab facility in Florida, so he's going to be here next Tuesday to share his story. So I'm looking forward to that, and it's a story we should all hear. So let me dive back into this, and we're going to come up on a break here pretty quick. But Tua, this was from Bama Insider. This is the young kid that basically won the national championship last night for Alabama. He's a young man whose faith is the driving force in his life. He's not shy to profess his Christianity. That his faith is shared by many in the Tuscaloosa area is chief among the reasons he chose the Crimson Tide, and it's nearly equal as his desire to play with the best competitors in the country. UA head coach Nick Saban, Alabama's head coach Nick Saban, talked about Tua, was the only player he had ever recruited who went to church with him every time he was in Tuscaloosa. Here's what Saban said. A lot of people are rooted in the word over here, just like back home. Oh, this is what Tua said. The Southern hospitality is almost the same as the love and the kindness they show me back at home. And so he's a really strong Christian, which is awesome. But what do you do when the cameras are on you? What do you do when you're all of a sudden a national hero for some, a national villain for others? Sorry, Georgia folks. But he stepped right up to the plate, man, and he went right to the source of his strength, of his peace, and of his ability, and that's Jesus Christ. You'll hear that when we come back. That might have been how you Georgia fans were feeling last night when Tua threw that football downfield and scored the winning touchdown in overtime. Boom, Alabama, yet another championship. What is that, 5 out of the last 9 years or something's crazy? Or 5 since, I think it's the last 10 years. It's amazing. But Tua, the hero of the story, is a young Christian man, a true freshman. He's from Hawaii. He's a great Christian family, apparently, from everything I've read on him today. But when he was asked out on the field, I wanted to play this just because this is encouraging, and there's always all kinds of stuff in the news cycle. But I wanted to play something encouraging, especially for us that are followers of Jesus Christ, and to hear this young man step right up to the plate. When given the opportunity, how would he handle it out there in the public and as a national hero, all of a sudden, at least for all the people that love the fact that Alabama won? And here's what happened. This is live TV last night, right after the game. Here's what he had to say.
What went through your mind when coach let you know you were about to play in a national championship game?
You know, my parents would be mad, but, you know, excuse me. You know, first and foremost, I'd just like to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, with him, all things are possible, and that's what happened tonight, you know. But, I mean, it was a team effort tonight, you know. I mean, couldn't have been done without the defense getting us the ball back. You know, our O-line blocking, working their butts off, as well as our receivers. You know, it was just a great team effort. You know, and they were the guys that made me look good tonight, so.
When you saw that field goal was hooked left, you knew you would have to take the field one more time and try to win this game. I mean, what were you saying before you took the field?
He's like 18 or 19. He's a true freshman.
Again.
I mean, I didn't say anything. You know, just going back in, just take it a play at a time, and that's what happened.
Now that you're a national champion as a true freshman, I mean, describe what it means for you in this moment.
You know, in this moment, I mean, it means the world. But at the same time, I mean, all glory goes to God. You know, I can't describe what he's done for me and my family, you know. Who would have ever thought I would have been here, you know, right now in this moment. So, you know, I thank God for that. And, you know, I just like to thank my teammates and Coach Saban for giving me the opportunity.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. So at 18 or 19 years of age, he threw the winning touchdown. It came in the second half, hadn't really started all year. And a true freshman and comes in and ends up winning the game. And a terrible play the play before, and then boom, throws, I think it was a 45-yard touchdown and wins the game in overtime. Unbelievable. And so I just think that's, you know, I'm such a cynic now. This is the pain about being on radio and doing what I've done for 10 years on radio is I'm so cynical. And you know, sometimes that's helpful and it leads you down the right road. But oftentimes, you know, I just go sit there and go, okay. Well, it's easy now. We'll see what happens to him in a couple years as he gets more famous, yada, 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 gets into the NFL. But then that made me think of Tim Tebow. And Tim Tebow, I don't know that you could get a whole lot more white-hot spotlight on you than Tim Tebow has. And he really stepped up to the plate. He still maintains a great witness for Jesus Christ. He's been very bold with his faith. And the question isn't for people like that. The question is for people, well, like you. And for people like me, when given the opportunity to share our faith or the reason for our faith, then we have to, are you ready? You know, 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have and to do it with gentleness and respect or patience, depending on which version of the Bible, which translation you're looking at. But I think that's the big question for all of us. How often do we stand up and explain and publicly and boldly and openly without any reservation, the reason for our hope, the reason for our stability when we have it, is our faith in Jesus Christ. And I for an 18, 19-year-old, that's boom, right there. It's right. I mean, he goes right to it. He's not getting any endorsement deal out of that. Nobody's paying him any money to do that. I believe that's exactly what he thought. And he mentioned during the interview, he prayed. You know, he prayed before he went in. He prayed a lot during the game. And he gives glory where glory is due to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that was awesome. So I was glad I could share that with you guys. And you know, props for him. And if you think about Tua every once in a while, say a prayer for him that he'll be able to handle all the attention that's coming his way, as well as all the other garbage that goes with it, and the temptation and all the other junk. Okay, so this just came out. I think this came out maybe yesterday or a couple days ago. And I'm shocked. Insert laughter here. I'm shocked that this isn't getting big news, big coverage across the plethora of media, most of which is left-leaning. Well, because... this doesn't really fit their narrative. So this is from the Daily Signal. In Friday's jobs report this past Friday, black unemployment reached a record low, 6.8%. That's the lowest black unemployment has been since the Bureau of Labor Statistics began tracking unemployment. No, not a couple years ago. No, not when Obama became president. No, not under Bush 43 or 41 or Clinton or Reagan. It started all the way back in 1972. This is the lowest the black unemployment rate has been since 1972. And I think it would force you to have to give some props to President Trump, whose very presence when he won last year, the stock market starts to explode. And we see what happened. I saw an article on this earlier today. One of the news organizations figured out about 1 million people in America have gotten bonuses and immediate raises as of January 1st because of the tax reform bill that, of course, Donald Trump was championing. And so there's some real stuff going on there. You can hate him all day long. And there's things about Donald Trump I don't like myself. But his presence and some of the things he's doing, especially on the regulation side and this imperfect, and I lean into that, imperfect tax reform bill is having some positive effect. And now you see this, the African-American unemployment rate. Of course, Donald Trump jumped all over this the other day. Here's his tweet, of course. The African-American unemployment rate fell to 6.8%, the lowest rate in 45 years. I am so happy about this news, exclamation point. And in the Washington Post, in parentheses, of all places, headline states, Trump's first-year jobs numbers were very, very good. So you got to give him some props. And I think that's awesome. Praise the Lord for that. I think it's great. That the unemployment rate lowest it's ever been. There's all kinds of problems in the African-American community in the inner city So nobody should be resting on the laurels there. But that's awesome news, and praise the Lord for it. Should I read Fire and Fury? That's my question for you. Should I read Fire and Fury by Michael Wolff, who's kind of a goofball in and of himself? But here's a little issue. Wolff admits didn't interview any White House cabinet officials for his anti-Trump book. That's kind of a problem. Wolff made the admission on Monday in an interview on CBS This Morning. Host Nora O'Donnell asked Wolff, "Did you speak to any members of the president's cabinet for this book?" Wolff responded, "I did not." "You did not?" O'Donnell repeated. "I did not," Wolff confirmed. She then asked Wolff if he ever interviewed Vice President Mike Pence. "I did not," Wolff said again. O'Donnell also noted Trump denied having ever been interviewed by Wolff. "Well, the president denies he ever spoke to you for the book at all," O'Donnell said. Here's what Wolff said. "I probably think he has no idea he was speaking to me for this book," Wolff said. "When I would meet the president in the White House, we would chat as though we were friends." What? "But that's not an interview to greet someone and say hello," O'Donnell pointed out. "That's not journalistic exercise." Wolff struggled to explain why O'Donnell's point and insisted he did sit down with Trump for 3 hours during his months in the White House, even though Wolff was, quote, "sure he," meaning Trump, "didn't think they were interviews." Who sits down for 3 hours with the president of the United States? The goofball Michael Wolff? A liberal writer? You're going to get 3 hours with the president of the United States? Wolff describes quotes from multiple Trump administration cabinet members in Fire and Fury, including the National Security Advisor and Treasury Secretary, of which he never interviewed any of them. So as much as I'm tempted to read Michael Wolff's book, Fire and Fury, guess what? It's not going to be the first, and it's definitely not going to be the last, but it seems like most of it's just a joke. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. But, you know, that's going to cost me. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you today. And Donald Trump, pretty much in an unprecedented move. A lot of people, Rush Limbaugh earlier is freaking out about it, and other people were amazed. And not the least of which were some of the Democrat leadership in the room, and I'm sure some of the Republicans, too. So he has this bipartisan meeting. They met in the cabinet room today with a bunch of leaders from Congress, both sides, House and the Senate, and Republicans and Democrats. So a pretty big group were there. And normally, you know, you'll have the press there. They'll have some opening comments, and then they usher him out of the room, and they do whatever they're going to do. In this case, he left it on. He left them in there. That was, Rush Limbaugh was talking about it, that he thought that was a brilliant move, a PR move, because it shows him, contrary to Michael Wolff's book, he's this deranged, goofy old man that wants to watch guerrilla TV for 17 hours straight, and all this other stuff, and he's not in control of his mental faculties, and he's wandering, he doesn't pay attention, blah, 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 blah. But in this hour-long televised meeting today on immigration, I mean, he was clearly in charge of the meeting. And some of that is them showing presidential deference. But, you know, even when they were pushing back, both Republicans and Democrats, you know, and at one point, Senator Feinstein, I want to know what you have to say. What do you think about all this? You know, so he's like Mr. Bipartisan, Mr. Statesman, and going completely contrary to the narrative that's been painted, not just recently by Michael Wolff in his book Fire and Fury, but that's been painted for, I don't know, a couple years now. So from a PR standpoint, maybe that's exactly why he did it. I wouldn't put that past him. The guy is an entertainer. He does know how to play that game on TV and otherwise. And so that was a brilliant move. But when you get down to the nuts and bolts of what they were talking about, I've got a bunch of things here from a couple different articles on this meeting. And if you didn't check it out today, you should go watch it. And he was talking about, you know, that Garrett, a friend on Facebook Live, is bringing up a solid point. He's talking about DACA, border security, and chain migration, and the visa lottery, we should get a handle on that. But then he turned around and said something else. So I think it's a little catch-22 here, but you never know what's going on with our president in terms of how he plays things. He is a master negotiator. I'll give him that after all. So this was during his meeting, and this was about 38 minutes in to his meeting, and he's talking about border wall and security and stuff, and then he's talking about the people in the room. So I want to play that for you so you can check it out for yourself. This is Donald Trump with the leadership of Congress, both Republicans and Democrats, earlier today.
Well, the press apparently is not leaving. me not much has actually changed here in terms of your positions.
No, I think it's changed. I think my positions are going to be what the people in this room come up with. I am very
okay. Did you hear that? My positions are going to be what the people in this room come up with. My positions are going to be what the people in this room come up with.
Very much reliant on the people in this room. I know most of the people on both sides. I have a lot of respect for the people on both sides. And my, what I approve is going to be very much reliant on what the people in this room come to me with. I have great confidence in the people. If they come to me with things that I'm not in love with, I'm going to do it. Because I respect them. Thank you all very much. Thank you. Yeah, Oprah would be a lot of fun. I know her very well.
So they go to the Oprah thing, but they're, you know, whatever they come up with, even if I'm not in love with it, you know, because I respect the people in this room, I'm gonna sign it. I'm gonna take care of it. And that's a pretty staggering admission, in my humble opinion, that he would be willing to come right out and say, hey, whatever they send me, I'll sign it because I have respect for them. You know, and that's where, is he being a master negotiator here? I don't know. To me, it's a little bit concerning. I was curious what you guys think of this. If you've listened, if you've heard this, I would be interested to see it. Does that worry you a little bit? And he said some other things. Let me share this with you. It's from the New York Times, an unlikely source. Then I've got one from The Hill. But they're all just reporting what was, I mean, they're all kind of caught. This is a brilliant move on the president's part. Because you can watch it. You can watch the whole thing. So if they misrepresent what he said, you can check it for yourself. This wasn't a closed-door meeting. He left the press in there for an hour, which was obviously shocking to a lot of the leaders in there. But in backing a broader immigration measure, Mr. Trump was given a rare public glimpse of an impulse he has expressed privately to advisors and lawmakers, the desire to preside over a more far-reaching solution to the status of the 11 million undocumented immigrants already living and working in the United States. So that's where he kind of gets on that. If you want to take it that much a step further, I'll take the heat, Mr. Trump told Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, who floated the idea during the meeting in the White House cabinet room on Tuesday. You're not that far away from comprehensive immigration reform. So Lindsey Graham was talking about a more comprehensive way to deal with all these people, all these undocumented workers and illegal immigrants in this country. And Trump says, I'll take the heat for it. Mr. Trump said he supported a two-phase approach that would first codify the protections created under DACA, or Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, the Obama-era program that he has moved to end by March, and then address other undocumented immigrants. But the president said action on the more ambitious immigration measure would be possible the next afternoon. He's talking about after January 19th, when they have to do another continuing resolution. Previous attempts to enact such a broad bipartisan immigration compromise during the Obama presidency and the presidency of George W. Bush proved politically impossible. Comprehensive immigration bills passed the Senate in 2006 and 2013 only to be stymied in the House. You created an opportunity here, Mr. President, Mr. Graham said to Mr. Trump, and you need to close the deal. The president said he would insist on strict new immigration limits as part of any such measure, calling it a bill of love. Laying out conditions that many Democrats view as non-starters, Mr. Trump said the legislation must fortify the nation's borders and end chain migration, a term used by immigration critics to refer to immigrants' ability to bring members of their extended family to the United States after gaining their own legal status, and cancel the diversity visa lottery program. I really do believe Democrat and Republican, the people sitting in this room, really want to get something done, Mr. Trump said. So he also stuck, you know, it's real hard to the wall. He stuck very hard to the wall. So I'm just curious, are any of you concerned? Are you nervous, especially if you voted for Donald Trump? Are you concerned about what happened today and the things that he said? You know, which was statesmanlike. You could make that point. You could say is bipartisan. Take the politics and the PR out of it today, which I think was a brilliant move. But the fact that he says he's willing to sign whatever the people in the room send him because he has respect for him, does that concern you? 866-34-TRUTH is the phone number, and I'll get to some other information here from today's meeting. 866-34-TRUTH, especially if you're a supporter of Donald Trump and voted for him, are you concerned about some of the things that happened today in this meeting? I'm going to jump over here to Frank, calling in from Des Moines, Iowa, and our good friends up there on the Truth Radio Network. Frank, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
No, Steve, I'm not concerned. It's been said that, you know, us voters take Trump seriously, not literally, while the media and his detractors take him literally and not
right.
Seriously.
Yep.
You know, in any good negotiation, you start with a high ball and a low ball. You've seen it hundreds of times on TV, on American Pickers. and you work your way to the center of a number you want to get.
Right.
Now, in any negotiation, as Trump says, you take nothing off the table. Nothing. So Trump's starting point is a wall. My starting point would be illegal immigrants shot on sight crossing the border. That would be my starting point, and then I would work backwards. But you take nothing off the table. And we live in a representative republic. Nobody gets their whole way all the time. We don't live in a pure theocracy where compromise would be a dirty, evil, nasty word.
Well, our founding fathers, Frank, would call it the necessity of compromise.
Well, absolutely. But you got people on both sides of the aisle who it's an all-or-nothing game, right. And they are willing to throw sand in the gears and anything to clog the gears up and bring government to a standing halt. And Trump is a realist. I voted for him because I knew he was a realist.
Yeah.
I knew when I cast my vote for him, I didn't vote for him to be my pastor. If I need a pastor, I'll call one. If I need some counseling, I'll meditate, pray, and read the Bible. I don't need him to be my spiritual counselor. I need him to make this economy boom so people got jobs, so people can make money and donate their money to help the gospel be spread.
Amen.
I don't
Frank,
need him to be minister.
I'm with you. Let me ask you this question right quick. Is there something that could happen, some aspect of a bill that he would sign on this particular subject that would have you infuriated with him?
Yes. If there was some sort of blanket amnesty. See, Reagan fell into the trap, and others have fell into this trap we want the amnesty first, and then we'll, down the road 5-10 years when Reagan's clear out of office, we'll ponder border security. I want the border security first, because if you're ever going to determine who's in this country, you have to get figured out who's in. So
that's right.
So 10,000 people don't rush in and say, well, I've been here all along. You see,
absolutely.
You have to get control of this border if you're ever going to have any type of amnesty. And I'm not saying that I wouldn't go along with amnesty for the 10 million or 11 million or whoever, how many knows how many's here, because nobody knows how many's here because nobody knows
right.
who they are.
Exactly.
But at some point, if you're going to throw down the gauntlet and say, okay, we're going to give amnesty to the 12 to 15 million that's here, then we have to know for sure who the 12 to 15 million are, so that 10 million more don't jump in and say they were here the whole time with those others.
I was here with them, too. Yep, that's exactly right. Frank, I'm up against the break. Great call, great points. I appreciate you listening, and thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And those are some great points. And as a reminder, my friend on Facebook Live again, Garrett, this is a great reminder. Listen, the people in that room today aren't enough to vote to get anything done in the Senate or the House. You need all the people there. You need a majority, and that's going to be tough. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. I want to remind you about our friends real quick at MediShare. MediShare, if you're like me and you listen to a decent amount of talk radio, I mean, I hear MediShare, it's all over the place. And the reason that it's being advertised all over the place, including right here on the show, for me personally, it's because my family, we've been MediShare members since about 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago, when regular insurance and Obamacare stuff was literally becoming unaffordable for us. Forget it. There's got to be another way. That's when we found out about MediShare. I love the concept. It's about 300,000 Christians around the country now because it's grown so quickly. They've been around since 1993 and over $1 billion in major medical expenses shared. But I love that concept too. Very biblical for me to try to help other Christians around the country who are in a tough situation. And if we get in a tough situation in our family, their shares that they're paying in every month, help us pay for our major medical expenses. It forces you to manage your healthcare dollars much more tightly and much more closely, but it's saved us literally thousands and thousands of dollars every year. And it's been a privilege to know that our money going into MediShare goes to other believers around the country. It's literally an Acts, Book of Acts way of coming at medical expenses. And it gets you out of Obamacare. The individual mandate's gone, but if you're in there, Obamacare's still trying to pay for things that us as followers of Jesus Christ shouldn't be paying for, shouldn't be willing to, or board of fashions and the like. And so it's just been a great thing for our family. I hope you'll check it out for you and for your family as well. 855-BIBLE-11 is their number, 855-BIBLE-11. Also now available in Montana. Do me a favor, when you talk to him and get some information, just tell him you heard about it right here on this show with Steve Noble. And that's great, because that way they know we're doing our part and getting the word out there. But I am confident you'll be blessed. 855-BIBLE-11. So back to this issue today. And that, Frank, that was a great call from Iowa. Thanks so much for calling in. You made some great points. And what do you guys think about this? As you look at, you know, is Donald Trump a master negotiator? I'll give him that. He certainly built a multi-billion dollar fortune and a huge real estate empire by being a great negotiator and a tough negotiator. And negotiations always come in the early negotiations, there's outlandish things going on. You know, you don't take anything off the table. You know, that starting price is $5 million, and you say, yeah, no, I'm not going to – I won't pay any more than like $2 million. Are you kidding me? And so you start on these extremes, and then you chip away through the negotiation process to get to the point that you already know, which is where you're willing to compromise to, and compromise is the necessity of a representative republic, of a Republican form of government like ours. Compromise is necessity. It's a necessity. You can't do it without it. That's why we have problems in Congress where they're unwilling to compromise. And it's so ideological driven. It's been the trough between the two parties is so deep, and it's getting wider oftentimes, not on every subject, but on a lot of them. And they just don't get anything done. So in this case, if he's going to compromise here and there, the question brought up and to my friend on Facebook Live, Garrett, brought up a great point that, hey, listen, the guys in the room, the guys and the gals in the room, power brokers, yep, leaders in Congress, both houses, both parties, yep. But they don't make up a majority in either side of the building. They don't make a majority in the House. They don't make a majority in the Senate. And if you can't get it through the majority, you can't get it. So would they get an uber-compromised DACA bill, an uber-compromised comprehensive immigration reform through Congress, through the Senate, through the House? I don't know. Hasn't seen a lot of success in the past. But what do you think about that? Anything that I'm telling you, anything that you heard from President Trump where he said, hey, I trust the people in this room, and basically I'll sign whatever you send me because I trust you. I have respect for you. Is that reckless or is that just talk? 866-34-TRUTH is our number here on the show, 866-34-TRUTH. This is from thehill.com. And again, there's not a lot of information out there because it just went down a couple hours ago when Donald Trump allowed the press, excuse me, into the room. Really, totally unprecedented for an hour. And in the clip I played you, the Democrat, I can't remember who was sitting next to him, was like, oh, yeah, isn't the press leaving? I guess not. And that was 38 minutes into the meeting. They stayed till about an hour, 59 minutes and change, and which allowed Donald Trump to look good. Maybe that's why he did it. Just so he said, hey, you think I'm a crazy old man that doesn't have his faculties about him and gets bored and wants to watch guerrilla TV and can't talk to anybody and demeans everybody? No, you saw a pretty savvy business guy there in this meeting, and maybe that's why he did it. I mean, I wouldn't put it past him. He's pretty shrewd when it comes to playing the game on the media and the TV. This is from thehill.com. Trump said Tuesday that lawmakers should pass bill of love to resolve the fate of young immigrants who benefit from an Obama-era program. He's talking about DACA. I hope we're going to come up with an answer for DACA, Trump said. The unusual setting allowed Democrats and Republicans alike to exchange their views on camera for roughly an hour over the complicated immigration talks. The meeting was shown on tape shortly after it concluded on cable news. Well, that was a unique meeting, Democratic Senator Dick Durbin quipped to reporters on the West Wing driveway. Durbin said afterward that he left the meeting with a positive outlook and a greater desire to get this done. Now, for me, hearing that from Dick Durbin doesn't cause me to want to sleep better at night. Trump said his promised wall on the southern border, which is vehemently opposed by Democrats, must be part of any deal. You need it, Trump said when he asked if he would accept a DACA deal without the wall. I'd love not to build the wall, but you need the wall. And the president doubled down on his demand that a DACA bill end chain migration and scrap the visa lottery program. Trump vented his frustration that, in his view, the visa lottery allows other countries to give you the people they don't want, and the United States takes those people. But now he's off there because the visa lottery is just that. It's a lottery, so they're not choosing, allegedly, because, you know, there's no malpractice on the governmental level around the world. So he's probably right in a lot of ways. Trump voiced agreement with Senator Dianne Feinstein, of course, a Democrat from California, who suggested a clean DACA fix that would be followed by a comprehensive immigration measure. I would agree to that, Trump said. We're going to come out with DACA, and then we can start immediately on phase two, which would be comprehensive immigration reform. Now, if you want to start screaming amnesty, that's going to be part of it. This is going to be a pathway to citizenship that they're going to work on. House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy then tried to walk back that idea. Remember border security, he said. Senator David Perdue, a Democrat from Georgia, urged Trump to remember chain migration. Trump then suggested a two-part deal, which would address comprehensive reform after issues related to the border and young immigrants are resolved. To me, a clean bill is a bill of DACA. We take care of them, and then we also take care of security, he said. So, again, when Lindsey Graham was promoting comprehensive immigration reform, which many people would call amnesty, he said, "You created an opportunity here, Mr. President, and you need to close the deal," Lindsey Graham said, using some Trump-esque language, which I'm like rolling my eyes. "If you would want to take it that further step, I'll take the heat," Trump responded. "You are not that far away from comprehensive immigration reform." So, listen, the thing to remember about Donald Trump, he never has, nor is he currently, an ideologue. So I don't know. I don't think there are any hills that he'll die on, including building a wall. I don't think that's a hill he'll die on. I think he's always in a negotiation. He throws everything on the table, and then one by one, he'll take things off, depending on just trying to get to the deal and get it done. And a decent deal, I suppose, is better than no deal. So, but that's just the way he plays. So, to me, this is kind of a sit back and watch. I thought it was a brilliant PR move today because it could show him in control of the room. He was statesmanlike. He was in control of his faculties. He didn't ask to watch Guerrilla TV or whatever that stupid thing is in the Michael Wolff book. And he ran the meeting. I mean, it was no doubt about it. Donald Trump was large and in charge today, and we'll see what comes out of that. But this is going to be something that we have to keep our eyes on. I don't flip out much anymore watching this stuff. Because things are so fluid, things move quickly, and they're politicians. You know, I voted for Donald Trump. For me, it was a vote of pragmatism. I voted for him, but I don't trust any of these people any further than I can throw them myself. And so I get cautiously optimistic at best when it comes to Congress, when it comes to happening, what's happening out there. So we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll see what he does with all of that as this moves on down the road. But believe me, sooner or later, there's going to be some kind of an issue, some kind of a bill that'll get through that's going to deal with undocumented workers in this country. And if it's a true compromise, nobody's going to be happy and everybody will be satisfied. I wanted to share this with you. I used to read these on the show and haven't done it in a couple of years, but you may not know this, but I've got about 360 daily dose devotionals written. So right now we're finishing up a series called Love One Another, which I designed to be done with families or as couples. You could even use it at work or just in general. And it's just called The Daily Dose, and you can go to the website, c2atoday.com, and sign up for that. It's free. You get it every morning in your email box. These are short and sweet. I am not a long-winded communicator, believe it or not. I write like I speak, so these are pretty easy to read. And I just wanted to share one with you today as we're finishing up this series. This was a 50-day series to be done with family or with your spouse or just in general about how to love one another better. And this is an example. And then I think next week we're starting in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, I think I wrote about 100 devotionals going through the book of Matthew. I think I started in chapter 3 once you got past kind of the Christmas story and dove right in from there. So it'll be about a little over 3 months, Monday through Friday, in the book of Matthew. But I wanted to give you an example of this and encourage you to go to the website, c2atoday.com, and sign up for it. These are free. You get them each day in your email box. Today it was called Take It Easy. This is your daily dose from yours truly. James 1:19, the beginning, verse A. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We all tend to react in the heat of the moment. When accused, we defend. When insulted, we insult back. Isn't that normal? Can you hear James calling to us from the past? Slow down. Take it easy. Hold your tongue. As a rule of thumb, this is towards the end. After there has been some sort of conflict in your home, there should be a few moments of quiet contemplation before you get to a resolution. Have a seat. Collect your thoughts. Calm your spirit. Ask thoughtful questions and then listen. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this for the sake of your family. That's just a little example. And we're starting the book of Matthew sometime later next week. You can get on that list and it's free to you in the email box each morning. C2atoday.com. is the website, c2atoday.com. You can get signed up for my Daily Dose devotionals. I hope you do, because I know you'll be blessed. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.